Gooling was almost unimportant at that time. I shouldn't say that. That's a bad thing to say. But all the people that where I come from, were, like I say, ended up in the mines, or they never hardly left that part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised, grew up there and worked as miners or farmers. And I said, hell, I'm going to get out and do something else, you know.
So this is a way out.
I don't know why, and that's why I quit school and left. And my daddy left it up to me. He says, well, you can either finish school and, or go play ball. And, of course, you know, that's a dumb thing to say. Guy wants to play ball. I wasn't too smart in school anyhow, so.
Well, I realize, what did you finish high school later?
No.
Okay, you...
No, I got too many years under my belt, and I knew it should have been done, and I never did.
Well, you talk, you know... I'm in Kentucky, and we have a tremendous high school dropout right here. In talking to you, I would not have thought that you were not a high school graduate or even beyond that. You speak very literately. I mean, I'm used to not speaking to someone who speaks as literately, or if that's the right word, as you do. I'm surprised that you didn't finish high school.
Well, I appreciate it, and I always thought I was a real lousy speaker, because I detested making speeches when I was in baseball. I could never, well, I guess I was more nervous getting up in front of people than actually speaking.
Yeah. Well, that's tough, I guess, for anybody, but you're forming correct sentences with correct grammar, which is I think it's impressive, because I deal with an awful lot of incorrect speakers.
Thank you.
So you think... going back in the early 40s, in your same situation, this is the choice that for you.
I would do it again, the same way I left home to go play ball, only I believe I would try. Like I say, if I was on the same club and knew what I knew now, I believe I'd try to get with a different club or go to a different position.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to play any position, outfield especially. I always thought I could play the outfield. I played a couple games out there, and I guess the good Lord wasn't with me, because I didn't have any success of getting hit. I hit the ball, I didn't strike out. But, you know, maybe if I'd have played three or four more games, I might have broke loose. You can't tell. That's life, you know.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, maybe you didn't get hit every game. Obviously, somewhere along the line, you were getting your share of hits. You had a 250 lifetime batting average for a pitcher. That's probably 100 points above most of them.
Yeah, I think, like I say, I had an awful lot of confidence in hitting. I just believed that any man could throw a pitch, and I was going to hit it someplace. And that's why that's really why I was pinch hitting there with the club, because I didn't strike out.
Mm-hmm.
Connie had seen so many guys, I'm talking about like the E-regulars,
mm-hmm.
would go up there and pinch hit, or even some regulars, and they would take pitches, you know, and then stand there and take a third strike.
Mm-hmm.
And really, as young as I was, I knew the only reason you went in to pinch hit was to hit. You knew, you know, not to get a walk or anything else. What you needed is a hit. And I just... swung, and I believe I could hit the ball, and I did. It may have been back to the pitcher, or it may have been a base hit, but I very seldom struck out.
You put it in play. That's what counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can do that, why, you're going to get hit sooner or later. Well, I felt that way, you know.
Yeah.
I felt confident.
Well, I think that's half the battle of baseball, is the confidence in yourself.
And, you know, as far as playing the outfield, why, pitchers were always shagging fly balls out there, and that was... No worry about playing that position.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you finally retired?
I moved to San Antonio in 57, and I was kind of at a loss down here, didn't know anybody, so I picked up a little old job. Just, I think I worked there about 2 months till I landed something. Then I got into I got into the gasoline business, service station, and it was an automatic car wash, one of those big long ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've seen them.
Sure.
And I actually went to work as manager for the car wash alone, and then in about 2 months, I took over the whole business. I leased it. And I stayed there for about 12 years. Just had service station and car wash, which is pretty good business.
Mm-hmm.
And then as times changed, we had a verbal agreement with Phillips Oil Company, and I was doing also work for Phillips Oil Company. I was checking stations and things, inventorying them out, plus running my own business. And the man that owned it was a verbal agreement on lease, see? And we changed the system around, and it didn't go over too good. And so I talked him into going back the way it was. He was buying the equipment, and I was keeping it repaired, see? After we got back in the other business, we had lost a lot of business. I built it back up again, and then he wouldn't lease it to me, so that's when I left. I told him, okay, I'll work for a salary. You pay me so much, you know. He got very close, but I just said no. So then I went to work for another guy who'd been after me for years to work for him. And instead of running one of them things, we sold them and installed them.
Uh-huh.
You know, $200-$400 car washes, $1,000 car wash. We installed them and sold them, and then took care of the equipment and stuff like that. And that's all I did. That was, and I retired last year, the first of the year.
You enjoyed your work?
No.
That's a shame.
It was pretty hard, and some of the places was pretty hot. Especially on repairing, you know.
Oh, I bet.
Especially car washing stuff. They're always around water and it's rusty and things have to be repaired. Never just always hard to get apart and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a living, and like I say, I had no education, but we got along pretty good.
Well, that's the main thing, is getting by.
Yeah. Just had to set my standards down, and it didn't bother me one bit. I worked hard before I ever come to baseball, so I knew what it was all about.
What kind of family did you have, Carl?
I had two sisters and a brother, all older than me.
Oh, so you were the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could see what would happen if you stuck around home.
Yeah, yeah, they're still back there. Of course, when the war come along, that's people started, that's when they started finally getting out of that little country town, so they, you know, they started traveling.
Yeah.
They went off to college.
Well, that's the same way here. It's a lot of places the same way. In Paris, Kentucky is where I live, and kids grow up here, go to school here, go out after school if they finish school, and they work on tobacco farms or horse farms, and that's where they are for the next 50 years.
War changed a lot of that, didn't it? They got a touch of traveling and sent them all over the country. And when they got back, they just got itchy feet and they started moving on. I did. I lived in Philadelphia. I was just outside of Philadelphia all the time. I played there. And then I told the wife, I said, if we ever get out of baseball and we can, we're going to go someplace where it's warm, because we always like spring training, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Nice down there. So we kind of like San Antonio. And first year we looked around and went back and put our home up for sale, and next year we come down here, we bought a piece of land and a house built.
Well, very good.
And I wish I was out in the country. I'm in the middle of town now. I was in the country, now I'm in the middle of town down here. This thing is growing so fast.
Yeah, it's Texas, I guess, is the fastest growing state population-wise.
Yeah.
Well, it's a major place worth more.
Pardon?
It's a major place worth more.
Yeah, but they're hard to sell today.
Oh, the market's not good?
Well, it's pretty slow. You know, Texas had since that oil crunch, we had a pretty hard time down here.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Up quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a good friend in, where is he? In Colleyville, I believe. Someplace.
Colleyville?
Yeah, near Dallas, I think maybe. Yeah, he said that was a boom town a few years ago and they moved down there, but it's has slowed considerably.
Well, just like Houston over there, they were going to town, and of course his oil hit, and it just died, you know, everything come to a halt.
Yeah.
And different other attractions.
Well, that's kind of silly.
It's really not. Football's a little more expensive to go see than baseball, and I really don't think they're going to support it down here. You know, we got a pretty low class of low wage earner people, all these Mexicans down here and stuff.
Uh huh.
And you take a family and take a kid or two out there and pay $25-$30 a ticket. You got $100 spent a day.
Oh, easy. Oh, yeah.
A year or two. I don't. You know, I tried that in that other hot football league here, and it never went over.
How do the Spurs draw down there?
Well, they're winning this year, and I think they're drawing pretty good. Although they keep hollering for more fans and stuff. But
it's just the prices for football and basketball games, especially football, are almost prohibitive, though.
It is, if you take a family of kids out there.
Sure.
You know, you're always going to spend something to eat. The time you buy three or four tickets, it's about. And I guess since the strike is over in baseball, I think tickets are going up there, too.
I bet they are. Well, just for my son and myself to go to a Reds game, if we get good seats, it's just two of us. This is going to end up costing us $50 by the time we eat and park and drive up there and everything.
That's right. We go from here and we get a load once in a while and go over to Astrodome. And you can expect to spend, by the time you stop and eat and have a snack at the park, maybe a beer or two, and you're looking at one person, $30.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's awful hard for a poor working man to take a family out to those things, but I guess they'll continue to do it.
Well, they're proving it. You know, no matter what they do, they seem like they're drawing more people every year.
Yeah. More power to them, I guess.
These years with all these countries protesting and stuff, it's liable to end up in baseball.
I think it's gonna catch up, but right now it's the fatted calf or whatever you call it. I guess you gotta.
Well, there's a lot of money floating out there yet, you know.
Oh yeah.
There may be a lot of poor people, but there's an awful lot of money floating around out there yet.
And looks like with the new minimum wage ball players have, they're gonna get a lot of it themselves.
What is that minimum wage now?
It's either $100,000 or $105,000. I don't remember what they just heard it in the morning paper.
Wasn't it?
Pardon?
Was 60 something?
It was 68 last year, yeah. So that's up 50% in 1 year.
I'd even play for nothing up there just to get the pension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, boy.
They all are about all these millions of dollars that the owners have and it belongs to the ball players. Of course, we old timers have been fighting for get a little of it too, you know. Every year, new television rights come in, they try to. I think the ball players, they said one time the ball players would, but the union said, hell no, they don't pay any dues and you don't owe them nothing.
Yeah, you guys, well, you know, they wouldn't have jobs today if it weren't for you guys.
Well, I'll grant you they've done a hell of a lot with it. They got a long way with it, but it still took somebody to start it.
And, sure.
And they're probably right. We don't pay any more in here, but there's a doggone much money, and I know there's ball players around, including myself, that $100 a month would mean a hell of a lot to them.
Yeah.
It's that little. I know one good friend of mine, he passed away, Dick Fowler, and she don't hardly get nothing out of that pension, not enough to get by, and she's been having a hard time for years. She's one of these that keep up with everything in baseball. She writes letters to all the wives and some of the players that play with her. She just keeps in touch with everybody. But she's sure having a hard time because the pension don't bear anything.
That's a shame. And the guys today, they're going to retire after, you know, they play 10 years like you did. They're going to get $120,000 or something like that when they turn 60.
That's what I say. The pension is worth more than anything. Actually, they don't have to go to work, that's for sure.
Yeah. There was the last time, not this particular shutdown, but I guess back in 81, Gene Garber, pitching for Atlanta, then was quoted as saying that if they didn't, how do you say it now? If the ball players didn't get what they were looking for at that time, that when he retired, he would have to go out and get a job. And that sure didn't give him a whole lot of sympathy from the fans.
No, well, you know, the public knows they're making big salary. And they can't convince me. One of our newspaper writers had it in the paper the other day that said that even though they're making that big money there, they've got an awful lot of expenses. But I know that all their expenses are...